Thank you for tuning in to the Covenant Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the teaching and preaching of God's Word. The Covenant Podcast is a ministry of Covenant Baptist Church located in Indianapolis, Indiana. And now, here is today's speaker.
Which religion have you believed? What are you holding on to that you will take with you from this temporary world and walk and step into eternity with? I want to speak to you today about the one way, the only way. I want to tell you about this only way. I want to tell you about Jesus, the only Savior that the world has ever known and ever will. In these verses, from verses 14 to 18, the Bible describes the Word, which we know who is Christ, Jesus, who we know is the Son of God. It tells us about Him in greater detail in verse 14 to 18, and it says that Jesus, the Word, became flesh. He is the only God who has ever become flesh. Secondly, Jesus is the only Son of God. Then these verses tell us that He is the only source of grace and truth. And it concludes with Him being revealed as being the only way to God. Verse 14, beginning section, says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." In the opening chapters, the opening verses of this first chapter of John, John made it clear that Jesus was the Word, and that the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And here in verse 14, we are now told something incredible. We are told that this Word, who is God, became flesh, and that He dwelt among us. In King James Version, and I want to split hairs on this either, but there's, and even later in other verses, there's this idea that is given that He was made flesh, and this idea that He was created at that point. And we know that He wasn't, because in verse 1, we are told that in the beginning of everything was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And now He not is made flesh, He became flesh. He took upon Himself humanity. God became a man. And He dwelt among us. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, we read, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." That God could become flesh is a marvel to us, and it's something that our finite human minds struggle understanding and wrapping itself around, that God could indwell flesh, that the Son could continue to be God and become man, and yet that is what the Scripture says. It's not a contradiction, perhaps a paradox, but it does not contradict itself. God became man and He dwelt among us. He's the only God that has ever done this. We know He's the only God at all, but He's the only God even to have a claim to become a man. Not just made flesh, but dwelt among us. That God in Christ became flesh is a marvel, but that He willingly dwelt among fallen humanity is something else altogether. That He submitted Himself to 33 some years of walking and living in a fallen world, and He was the Son who was in the beginning with God and was God, is God, always was God, is now and always will be. Yet He submitted and took upon Himself humanity, and He walked among us. Too much of the time we only think about this at Christmas. But I want you to think for just a minute. I want you to just ponder and meditate about what this means. Consider the perspective that the eternal Son of God had of man. His perspective of how man was originally created. His knowledge of how he was created in holiness and righteousness. His perspective on the potential that the creation that God made in man had. That God gave to man, to only man, and made him the crown of creation and gave only to man this task to tend and to care for the world that I have created. Son of God, the Word, became flesh, dwelt among us, and lived. And as he lived every day, he looked out and he saw the condition of fallen humanity. And he saw again and again, and it must have washed over him every day. There must have been just a river running over his heart on a daily basis. That this is not necessary, that man's sin is what leads to destruction. And if they would only believe the prophets, they would only believe what God said all the way back in Genesis 3:15, and come and be like Job and know that their Redeemer lives, they can have life. Consider their perspective that he must have walked through every day as he knew what he knew as God and what he experienced as man. Consider those daily reminders of the fallen nature that must have occurred to him. I'm reminded of the scene, the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. I'm reminded of that scene where he's outside of the tomb of Lazarus and he is weeping. And somebody is, people have, for often they have wondered, why was he weeping? He knew he was going to raise him from the dead. Why was Jesus weeping? I believe that as a man, there is something to the fact that he felt what it felt like to lose someone to death. And yet I also know that he also understood that that was a temporary death. And that as he stood there on that day and he called out, Lazarus, come forth. He called a name, Lazarus, come forth. And he knew he was going to be able to bring Lazarus from the dead. Some people have said, why did he say, Lazarus, come forth? And the reason I believe is, if the Son of God standing outside that tomb had said, come forth, everyone in the grave would have come forth. He was calling Lazarus, come forth. But in that moment, he felt the tears, he felt the anguish, he felt the burden, and I believe he felt things that you and I could never begin to fully understand. He's the only God that became man and dwelt among men. He's it. There's no other religion that even claims this. There's no other religion that even begins to come near to this. He's the only way. Christianity, when rightly taught, is the only religion that teaches this. And so, not all religions are the same. Some are right. Well, one is right. One. You don't read about this in the Quran. You don't read about this in the Buddhist holy book, the Tripitaka. You don't read about this in the Hindu scriptures or the Vedas. You only read about this in the Word of God. That God became flesh, dwelt among the very people who needed him. That the Bible does teach this, I believe, is one evidence again of the divine authorship of the Scripture. Man wouldn't have even come up with this idea. It would not have occurred to him that God would become flesh. It's not the way man thinks. And even if he could have come up with the idea by some crazy imagination of his heart, the idea would be so preposterous to him that he never would have put it in a book like this. In the false religions of the world, it is always man that is at work, striving to earn the right to be in the presence of God. That's false religion. The ever-present striving on the part of man to be good enough, to be holy enough, to be righteous enough in themselves. Ever clinging to the desperate hope that their good deeds will somehow outweigh their bad deeds when they leave this life. You know, it's a bitter irony, actually. What is Christianity often accused of? It's often accused of brainwashing, of controlling, of manipulating. But in truth, the bitter irony is it is false religion that controls behavior in a manipulative way. It is, in this bitter twist of irony, actually the false religions of the world that exert controlling pressure over people in their lives. It is not Christianity. Because Christianity understands, right? Religion understands, it's not my works. It's not my righteousness. It's the righteousness of the one Son of God who came as the only one who became a man. It is His holiness, His work, His righteousness, His sufficiency, not mine. In Christianity, true Christianity, it is God who became a man so that there would be a way for all to find Him. The only God who became a man and dwelt among us. And He's only, as well, He is the only Son of God, as the remainder of that verse said. We have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. He's the only Son of God. Jesus was not one of many sons. He was not one of only a few sons. Jesus was not one of only two sons. Jesus is, was, ever will be the only Son of God. We read about this all through Scripture. Genesis 3:15, listen to the singular way in which the Messiah is spoken of, the promised one, the anointed one, the Word, Jesus. Listen how the Scripture talks about Him as a singular person, a one way. In Genesis 3:15, the very first prophecy of His coming, God says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. He's the only Son of God. He's always been prophesied as the only Son. In Acts 3, from Peter, after he and John headed to the temple at the hour of prayer, and through them God heals this lame man, and people begin to gather around, and they're amazed and they're in awe of Peter. And this is what Peter says. He addressed the people in Acts 3 verse 12. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and the God of our fathers, glorified His servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release Him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to today's program. Please visit us at www.covenantmbc.com to access our podcast archive and learn more about the ministry of Covenant Baptist Church. Visit us on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/covenantinindy.